Okay, who wants to start?
If there's no questions, there's no answers.
Yesterday you talked about that if you use the breath as a place of focus, that that could be a problem because you are only using one focus for meditation. So since for the past 20 years I've been using the breath, paying attention to the breath at the nostrils, I'm wondering what you might recommend that I would do differently.
He says the breath is not a problem. He's just concerned that people think that that is the only thing that they should pay attention to or can pay attention to. Yeah, he says, any object is just there so that we can be aware of it. So we use an object as a stepping stone to grow awareness, samadhi, and so on, he says. But, you know, if we can build these qualities in the mind, awareness, samadhi, and so on, then those qualities become able to know many other objects as well. Awareness becomes able to know. So he's pointing out that the mind is more important than the object. More important, but he doesn't say get rid of the object. You still need to use it. But the mind is more important. Just that people might get fixated on, like, I have to use this object. If as you know any one object, you become able to know other objects as well, then it's fine.
Now
what happens to yogis is they try to pay attention to one object and they try not to know other objects. And he's afraid that that will happen.
Throughout your little book, you say, don't be tense. If you notice tension, watch it.
Yes.
Is there any other ways of dealing with tension, some of which is deeply
rooted?
He says if understanding arises, if real understanding arises about why or what the, you know, causes or conditions for the tension are, he said then that will really release the tension. Just recognizing that the tension is there can help a little, but it doesn't make it all go away.
And
then he says, if we're in the habit of being tense, sometimes it's not possible to immediately let go of that habit. Then you have to give it time, because we've given it time to grow into this stronger habit. We have to give it time to unwind it. He says it's only when real understanding comes that the tension really goes.
Since I've been here, which has been a short period of time, I've experienced in sitting feels like a mental numbness, or it's not, well, maybe it's sleepiness, but it's kind of like a mental numbness. And I noticed when you were in New York, and at one point I was about to close my eyes, and I said, I really want to close my eyes. And it was like, I just want to kind of like there's a lot of, there's a, the numbness is, it's like I've kind of tuned out.
ဒီမှာလာထိုင်တာကိုနှစ်ရက်ပဲရှိသေးတယ်။သူဘလို့ခံစားရလဲစိတ်ထဲမှာထုံထုံကြီးခံစားရတယ်နဲ့။သူ New York Insight ကိုလာတဲ့နေ့ကသူဘလို့ခံစားရလဲဆိုတော့ဒီလို cup ဖြစ်နေတယ်။သူကမျက်စိကိုပိတ်လိုက်ခြင်းနဲ့တဲ့။ဟိုဖွင့်ကုန်မဖွင့်ထားခြင်းတော့ဆိုတဲ့ခံစားမှုဖြစ်နေ။ဟိုပိတ်လိုက်ခြင်းနဲ့အဲ့လိုပဲစိတ်ကလည်းအဲ့လိုထုံထုံကြီးခံစားရတာသူကဘလို့ခွန်လဲမသိခြင်းတော့တဲ့သူက tune out လုပ်ခြင်းနဲ့
ဘာမှမသိခြင်းနဲ့
So the mind doesn't want to know anything is that way
အတိလိုတော့မှဖြစ်တိဖို့ပေါ်ကြိုးစား
Yes, it's what I won't do not to know. I won't do not to know. So So you have to make a little effort to remain knowing.
အရေးကြီးတာဘာမှမဟုတ်ဘူးအဲ့ဖြစ်နေတာကိုပရမယဉ်စင်းစားပါ
He said don't make effort.He says, think about what is happening with you.
ဟိုကဖြစ်အောင်လည်းဘာမှမလုပ်ဘူးမဖြစ်အောင်လည်းဘာမှမလုပ်ဘူးဖြစ်နေတာပဲဟိုစိတ်ဝင်စားတော့
So you are not trying to stop this from happening. So he's not saying you, this needs to stop happening. And you're not going to try to make something else happen, like better awareness or anything like that. You just want to be interested in this state.
နောက်ပြီးတော့ဘာတွေ့
And ask yourself, why are you practicing meditation?
Teaching is when you are learning.
He says, if you think like this, the mind starts to feel a little more alert again. Because if there is a desire to know and understand, then a little investigation needs to be done.
If you think about it, then you
So he says, whatever the mind might be noticing, sort of just ask the mind, what is it noticing? So that wakes it up a little. He says, it is possible, he says, when the mind is very tired, really tired, like maybe it's been.Doing a lot in life and is very tired, then sometimes it needs to shut down. So that could be happening to me.
Sadhu, I'm very comfortable in the Vipassana tradition. In the past 2 years or so, I've become very, very serious about practice.I've been here at the Forest Refuge, up at IMS and down here at the Forest Refuge for a little over 6 months now. And what I've found, and this happened kind of spontaneously, was that concentration really took off for me last October when I wasn't in a position to sit very much. I had to stand, and by standing and counting the breath,I got much more concentrated, much more focused, and nobody in the Vipassana tradition here has discouraged me from proceeding to work with concentration primarily. This seems to be at odds with what you were saying last week, and so I wanted to see what you think about I've heard also teachings by some.Very good teachers to the effect that there's not that much of a difference. It's a false dichotomy in terms of the teachings of the Buddha, that vipassana and concentration are meant to be complementary rather than opposed to one another. So I wanted to know what you thought of this.
စိတ်ဝင်စားလာတယ်သူဝိပဿနာအထောက်အရ comfortable ဖြစ်တယ်ဒီအတွေးခေါ်ရ comfortable ဖြစ်တယ်အဲဒီနောက်ဆုံး6လမှာ तू ကဒီမှာ IMS နဲ့ဒီမှာ तू အထောက်နေတယ်ရှင်းနှစ်က October လာတယ်ဆယ်လပိုင်းကအဲ့ချိန်မှာ तू က သမာဓိအနေနဲ့သူထိုင်လို့မရတဲ့အခါမှာသမာဓိတကယ်ကောင်းလာတယ်လေသူကမတ်တက်ရတယ်ဘာလို့ဆိုသူဒူးမကောင်းလို့လားပါလို့မသိဘူးသူကအသက်ရှူတော့သူကရေးတယ်အရေးထွက်တယ်ရေးထွက်တော့စိတ်ကအများကြီးပို့ပြီးတော့စူးစီးမှုရလာတယ်ငြိမ့်တယ်ဒီမှာတော့ဘယ်သူမှသူ့ကိုဒီလိုလောက်တာကိုမလုပ်ဖို့မတိုက်တွန်းဘူးတဲ့သမာဓိကိုလိုက်တာကိုသူဘယ်သူမှမတိုက်တွန်းမလိုက်ဖို့မပြောဘူးနောက်ပြီးတော့တချို့ဆရာတွေလည်းသူကြားမှုတယ်တဲ့သူတို့ကပြောတယ်ဖခင်ကဟိုသမထနဲ့ဝိပဿနာကိုခွဲဟောတာတကယ်တမ်းတိတ်တော့မလို့တလို့ပေါ့လေဟိုတကယ်တမ်းသမထနဲ့ဝိပဿနာအချင်းချင်းအကျိုးပြုတယ်လို့ပြောရစရာတွေလည်းရှိတယ်ဦးစင်းတောင်ဘလို့ယူလဲတဲ့
ဒါလေတုံးလို့ရပါတယ်မတုံးရအောင်လို့ပြောတော့မဖေကအကုန်ဟောတတ်တာပဲကိုကကိုနဲ့ကြိုက်အောင်ကြိုက်တယ်ကြိုက်တယ်လို့တုံးရတယ်ယူပြီးတုံးရတယ
် He says you can use that you can do what you're doing He says he's not saying that people cannot use samatha He's just giving their information so people know how to use skillfully what is more suitable for them in the situation
ညင်မီဘလို့လို့ညင်ဘလို့
He says so when you have this samadhi you have this peace and quiet what do you do with it
I'm certainly always open to other arising objects unless I'm standing there counting the breath I'm usually focused on that that doesn't keep other things from coming in and if they do come in and they seem to merit attention I give it to them but you know it's up and as I proceed in a more concentrated state through my day it seems to be much more stable the ability to come back to what's present
သူကဒီလိုအသက်ရှူရာကိုရင်းနေနဲ့သူကတမာတိရပါမယ်သူကတခြားအာယုံနေမဝင်အောင်တော့မနေဘူးတဲ့အဲ့တော့ဝင်ကျင်တဲ့အာယုံဝင်လဲတချို့အာယုံတွေကရှုစရာလိုရင်လဲရှုတယ်တဲ့နောက်ပြီးတော့ဘာဖြစ်လဲဆိုတော့တနေ့တာမှာဂျန်တဲ့အချိန်နေမှာလဲသူကပို့ပြီးတော့လုခောက်လဲစိတ်ကတည်တည်ငြိမ်ငြိမ်နဲ့ရှောက်သွားလို့ရတယ်ပေါ့အဲ့လိုမျိုးဖြစ်တယ်
တုံးနေငြိမ်လိုက်ဥပဒနာပဲကူးလိုက်မငြိမ်ခုတမထလုပ်လိုက်ငြိမ်လိုက်ဥပဒနာပဲကူးလိုက်အိုင်ဒီယာပဲပြောင်းတာ
Right, he said, so you can use this. He says, when the mind is quiet, you can do a vipassana style practice, and when it needs more grounding, then you can come back to a focusing, you know, what he's trying to explain to people is that when they practice the vipassana kind of practice, to learn, to know how to practice so that they can practice to the point that insights actually can arise in the mind.He says, so it's like to not just be calm in a samatha style practice and not go anywhere except to be calm.
I'd like to check out if I understand Sayadaw's teaching correctly. And is it correct that it's mostly going through the day with choiceless awareness?Somewhat unfocused, not a real specific look at objects, but a general open view with an attention to the subtleties of the mind being pulled toward or pushing away from the experiences that emerge in that choiceless awareness. Mm-hmm. Perhaps with a lot of focus on ideas that are attractive or other kind of thoughts that are attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Or attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have the correct an accurate understanding?
Toa di lo me ne. O zen te na o tu na le ra hman ya la. O ta ne go ma ta ka dan choiceless awareness the bo ne. Pa o ma ayun ti cha ma pyu pe ne. Tai focus tai lout da ma hou pe ne ta ne go ma twa bu roပါဘူးအဓိကထားကြည့်နေရမလဲဆိုတော့စိတ်ကဒီအကုန်လုံးသိတဲ့အထက်မှာဒီ unfocused ဒီလိုအနေထားမှာစိတ်ကဘာပေါ်ဆွဲတက်လဲဘာကိုတွန်းတက်လဲနောက်ပြီးတော့
the last bit what was it you said right the last bit after you spoke about whether the mind is
attracted to or pushing away its experiences?
So far in my experience, I've noticed that there are a lot of thoughts that have subtle attractions or aversions to them.
Right.
And it seems to me that that's the predominant part of what my mind is doing during the day, is having thoughts about what I'm seeing or experiencing or hearing with attraction or repulsion.
Right.
Very subtle.
Nasuma tu apa pula so number tu sik ba idea ne tone ne swae de so da tu ba tadi khami le so tane go ma sik ka ba au ba yin sai yin sai tu tain mwe de atwe ri ya tu tone ne swae de a lo lo ni de so da tadi thami mi ni lo de
yes yee ji da ai pat ka yee ji
yes he said it's important to notice those subtle thoughts that are pulling or pushing because when we don't notice the subtle defilements that at work, he says then they start to gain momentum because they're unnoticed. But once they're noticed, then they can't sort of just keep growing. He says, and when we talk about choiceless awareness, he says it's true that we don't choose the object. We're not so concerned about which object is coming into view, but he says we are concerned with the mind that is observing, that is doing this awareness. And he says, especially with a view to watching out for whether there is greed or aversion or delusion operating in the mind, a wrong attitude and so on. And to watch out for that. And if any of this comes up, that's the first priority to work on. Because only when this awareness is not like being ruled by greed, aversion, or delusion, he says that's when this mind, this awareness, sees things as they are.
I was practicing walking meditation before, and it's a beautiful day, and I was feeling really good, and my mind was very calm. I was well rested, and I start to feel this happy feeling in my heart area, almost like I wanted to cry. And I thought to myself, oh boy, Dharma joy, finally, that I've heard so much about. But I knew that I observed it. I knew that there was a possibility of getting attached to it. So I just noticed it, and it disappeared in about 30 seconds. And I was kind of disappointed because I had fantasies of walking around all day long feeling that way, which was a wonderful feeling.
He says, who was disappointed?
Greed is attachment was already there.
He thinks this happened to you. You have information that it's possible to become attached to this sort of joy. And he says what you did is paid attention to it because of a fear that you might get attached to it, maybe subtle.
Right.
And he says that's the wrong attitude. He said the idea is not that you must not have this joy or become attached to it. The idea is if this joy is arising, you want to recognize this joy is arising, and then check the mind that's aware of this joy, and then see whether
recognize if greed towards this joy is there. So recognize what is happening as it is. So your attitude from the information you had went in, took the wrong sort of slant on it, and then manipulated it. So your mind, like once you watch it strongly, or you know, watch it even, then of course the experience is gone.
Do
you get it? Yeah. It's hard to...
And he says, so greed arises. So what? He says when greed arises, what we want to do is examine greed. We want to understand greed, not make it not come. Not try to prevent greed from coming. He says you want to understand what is greed. Is greed necessary or not? Is it, and so on.
I think I have an experience of observing greed. I like to sit in a chair where my back is supported. And last week, I was sitting against the wall. And I don't like to sit in the floor. So I wanted to get to this meeting early. So I could sit in the chair. This is about 20 minutes before the hour. And I felt myself this being pulled towards getting there early. And I recognized that as wanting. And I just felt it. Felt it in the body, the wanting. It felt almost like something pulling me forward.
Yes.
So you see, that's the investigation. Finding out how greed works, how it makes you feel, how greed behaves. Same with
anger.
So your work is, he says, don't stop what is happening.
Don't control, no?
Yeah. Learning, he said, happens when you let things happen naturally. You stay with it.
Sometimes when there's more stillness in the mind, it's possible to see the beginning of a thought but not allow it to fully come up, so it's like a bud or a seed of the thought, and there's a flavor of it. So when that's happening, it feels like there aren't so many defilements arising. My question is, should I allow the thought to come up and investigate it, or is it okay to just stay with the mind's kind of arising and subsiding?
စိတ်ငြိမ်တဲ့အခါမှာအတွေးမပေါ်ငယ်သိလို့ရတယ်။တွေးတော့မလို့သိလို့ရတယ်။အဲ့လိုသိနိုင်ရင်
You don't need to allow those thoughts to arise. He says, you're doing fine in that state as it is. He says, and don't worry about the defilements, they will come. In their own time. When they're strong enough, they'll come and you won't be able to put it down. Even if you want to. And that's the opportunity for you to investigate the defilement naturally as it is.
Yeah.
This is already a weak defilement, and the mind is still and able to handle it. There's no need to create anything out of that and create some defilement for yourself to look at.
It feels like I'm
falling.
Because
it's always like that.
There's not so much to work with in the usual sense.
Mm.
So maybe then there's a smaller
ကအခုဒီမှာလာအားထုတ်တာကဘယ်လိုဖြစ်နေလဲဆိုတော့ holiday ယူနေရတယ်လို့ပဲဘာကြောင့်လဲဆိုတော့ပုံမှန်အတိုင်းစိတ်ကဖြစ်စရာဖြစ်နေတာမဟုတ်တော့နည်းနည်းစိုးရိမ်စေဖြစ်တယ်ဟိုကိုဒီလိုစကောင်းဝင်ပေမဲ့ကိုတည်တင်းတလောက်မှွင့်လုံးနိုင်တလောက်မလုံးနေဘူးလားမဟုတ်လေဟိုတခုပေါ့တိုးတင်တာမတိုးဘူးလားဘာဆိုတော့ဒီလိုပဲငိမ့်ပဲ
ငိမ့်နေရင်သူတော့ဒီလိုရှိတယ်ငိမ့်လာရင်တတိတမန်ကြီးကောင်းတာလေကောင်းလာရင်တိတ်တလေးတွေမှလိလာနည်းနည်းလေးအဲ့တိတ်မှုလေးလိလာရင်ကျမ်းမှဆိုတာကျမ်းရင်တော့တတိတမန်ကြီးအပြင်မှာကျတော့ကျမ်းကျမ်းပုံမှာပေါ့ဒီတမန်ကျတော့တိတ်မှုတယ်တိတ်မှုတဲ့ကိလေသာလေးလိလာမှာအော်တတိတမန်ကြီးကောင်းလာအောင်ကိုကနည်းနည်းပို့ပြီးတော့ဟိုဘယ်လိုပြော
He says, so it sounds like, he says, your awareness and concentration are pretty good. And he says, in a state like that, he says, you use that opportunity to investigate what is very subtle. You can investigate in more detail. You check first whether the awareness and concentration, the samadhi and all that are, you know, pretty still and steady and so on. And if it is, he says, use this opportunity when things are quiet.To examine the more subtle things. He said in life, things are much more gross. You just won't get that sort of subtlety to examine things a little deeper.
So, do that. I was like, I'm going to change it. 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 ဒီကူအိမ်မှာမိမိတော့မှသူကဝမ်းတာပါအဲ့တော့မှသူတည်ခုနတော့တော့ရှိတိမ်နေမှုမှု
He says for example there's this monk and he was practicing and of course at a retreat nothing much happens and he was sitting in his room and a mosquito bit him so he was watching that carefully not reacting and just watching to see whether he was having any reaction and it was clear to him he didn't feel any anger towards the any aversion towards the mosquito he just sort of let it have its meal and then the mosquito wandered off and he watched the mosquito he continued to watch and then the mosquito went up into a corner and then got caught in a spider web and he said then he felt happy and he suddenly realized then that was a sign that earlier there was a subtle aversion to it that he didn't notice because now he's happy that it was that he punished or whatever
yeah, not to be
just desserts
အဲ့ချိန်မှာဒေါသဖြစ်တာလည်းသူဘာလို့မမြင်လဲ
And so he asked this question. So why was it that he while sitting with a mosquito and watching his mind why did he notice his aversion?
အဲ့ဒါလည်းပဲ
That becomes a bit deep. သူကသူကျင်းတတ်တယ်ဟို
Manachi ten.
He says something wrong in the way he's watching.
He was too focused on
objects. Yes.
No.
Focus pan. Now tamachen chi ni. Dora ma shi ba wu so chi.
Yes. Partly a focus and also he's watching with an expectation that he's not going to have a reaction. So it's not as it is.
Okay, as it is one. You really see the time
yeah. To see things as it is, he said, it really needs to be a very simple, honest kind of, what is it?
Idea ma pa ma, see the thing is, idea ho lo pi ya ma, di lo pi ya ma pa ma.
The watching really needs to have no idea at all in what way it should be seeing things or what way it should turn out.
Teng mui de, ai se de a yan teng mui de.
They're very subtle things that go on in the mind.
Pi ni de te ma ma shi, chi de pa ma shi.
And it's not in the object, it's really in the way that we are trying to view the object. He says that's why when people get information on arising and passing away, they watch things very carefully to see, waiting for things to disappear. So this sort of, you know, background attitudes are very subtle.
The other piece that I've been doing sometimes when there's identification is just dropping the concept empirically empty. And I know it's a concept, but sometimes it has like a resonance or acts on a way that's not so conceptual and it can cut through that identification.
khali identification when ni man ti de akha ma de ta khali tu sakalon le ne tu a ho inherently so ra ho a twin cha cha ro empty ho wa anit tara ma shi u lo a lo myo sakalon le tu tong lai de di sakalon le ba tong lai de ai chang sin sa ra ro mho u da mae sait ka ro ai di pinyak ko tong bro da mae sakalon ko tong bro tu a ตรงไล่แต่ปုံจังก็တော့แน่ๆโห
กําไรเผ็ดไป
มะโหเผ็ดไปตรงไล่แต่ปုံจังก็တော့โหโหวินตีนเนี่ยปုံจังมะโหไล่ปรแท่ล่ะมะโหเพิ่นน่ะ
แต่ตะแกน้าน้าแหละปี้ดา
แน่ๆแน่ๆน้าแหละดิโหลผิดปรตะแกเว้ยแน่ๆตะคาดิชินว่าเลยตะคาดิชะတော့แลแน่ๆตะดิท้ามิดาရှိတယ်ไอ้หลุမျိုးตรงเนี่ยสักกะลงก็ปัญญาเป็นมั้ยต้องน่ะပဲရှိတယ်ဒီထက်ပုံမရှိဘူးဆိုတော့လက်တစ်ခါလေးအမြင်ပဲမြင်တ
ဲ့သဘောပေါက
်မြင်တဲ့သဘောရှိတယ်တစ်ခါလေးသူက
မြင်ပြီးတာပဲ
He says so you do sometimes see the truth of that in just on your own right yeah if you so there is some understanding already so that's fine
နောက်တစ်ခုရှိတာ identify ဖြစ်နေတာဖြစ်နေမှသိတာလည်းညံပဲ
And he says remember that even when there's identificationAnd there is a recognition of the identification that's happening. That's right view too. That's just.
She need out. She out. Then not normal.
Yeah. They're seeing it as it is. He says, he wouldn't, you know, take what is seen as it is and try to see it differently. Yeah.
I know.identification ရှိနေနဲ့ရှိနေမှသိမယ်နော်မရှိတဲ့အခါညံအားကောင်းတဲ့အချိန်မှလည်းမရှိမှသိလေ
He says so if you recognize identification every time there's identification he says when you know in moments when the mind is strong stable and so on and a real seeing into the non-identification when there's a real non-identification and the mind recognizes it and understands it he says it can also be very strong insight into that
I've been taught on retreat to use extreme sense restraint. Don't look anywhere, don't just kind of thing. I would like to hear Siara's opinion on that.
Tu wa tu sakhanwin bu de akha ma tu extreme o pyan tan ne sense restraint ho wa dwara ri o thain chout tha bu.အများကြီးတင်ထားတော့အဲ့တော့ဘယ်မှမကြည့်နဲ့ဘာမှနားမထောင်နဲ့အဲ့လိုမျိုးတင်ထားတဲ့ဥစဉ်ကဘယ်လိုယူဆလဲပြောပါမယ
်အဥစဉ်ကယူကြတော့မပြောဘူးဘုရားပြောတော့ပြော
ဟုတ်ကဲ့ He'll tell you what the Buddha said
ဟိုမြင်နိုင်ကြလိုက်မှာတတိနဲ့ရှိပါတတိညာဖြစ်အောင်နေလို့ပြောတယ်သူက
The Buddha is in the Satipatthana Sutta he says the Buddha said Whenever you see or hear, be aware of seeing and hearing with wisdom. And it's every time you see or hear or smell or taste or touch or feel. And it's not just body sensations alone. It's also sight and sound and smell and taste.
အတော့စကားပြောနေရောဘုရားဘာမှဝါလဲဆိုတော့မကောင်းတာဆိုမလုပ်နဲ့ကောင်းတာဆိုလုပ်နိုင်တော့မလုပ်စိတ်ပြည့်စုံအောင်ဒါဒါမှဝါတော့မပြောနဲ့မဆိုနဲ့မကြည့်နဲ့ပြောတော့
Yeah and he said the Buddha went so far as to say don't do anything evil don't do anything unskillful do everything that is wholesome and purify the mindHe didn't say you can't look or can't hear or can't do or think or speak. So he says then if you extrapolate that, everything that's good, everything that's wholesome, whether it's thinking or speaking or acting, you should do as much as possible.
မကြည့်နဲ့မမြင်မချမနားမထောင်နဲ့လို့ပြောတော့
Yeah so when you see or look or listen or hear he says to be aware of that and with wisdom The Buddha didn't say don't look, don't listen.
No, the Buddha said, "Don't listen." 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 The Buddha said, "Don't listen."
And in the Satipatthana Sutta, he says, it's as specific as saying, when speaking, be aware with wisdom that you are speaking.
Now, too, in the Ngābhāma, in the Lōwāng, in the Tāngvāna Tīlāsa, in the Ngābhāma, Kīrīdāngā Pīyāng Tēnā. Eh, Pāna Tēnā, Nyan Pīyāng Tēnā, Nyan Shīmā Tēnā Yāma. Lūā Tēnā Lāi Tēnā, Tēnā Lāi Tēnā Mābhīyā.
And there is mention of, we call sense restraint in Pali is called Indriya Samvara Sila. Okay, it's a kind of conduct, right conduct. He says, but how do we restrain the senses? And restraint means really to not allow the defilements to arise when these sense doors are working. He says, how can you prevent defilements? Only if wisdom is present. So the key is to develop wisdom. And that will do the sense restraint. So when you look or see, awareness and wisdom need to be present. That's
awareness and understanding she in defilement alone.
Yes, and once awareness becomes present with wisdom, he says that's when the defilement won't come. We've heard of this expression in seeing just seeing. In hearing, it's called the what sutta is it?
Yes.
But in seeing just seeing, in hearing just hearing, it doesn't mean that you look and you don't know anything. In seeing, as an example, he says there has to be a clear understanding. When you say in seeing, just seeing, there has to be a clear understanding whether what you're understanding is just that there is seeing, or whether you understand that this is just the physical matter.
This object is mind.
Yeah. Or whether you're understanding
cause and effect,
or
anicca, dukkha, anatta, any any wisdom.
Yes, some wisdom must be present. In the Buddha's time, while he was alive, there were other sects that taught like that. To not have defilements arise, don't look, don't see, don't have any sensory.
And wrong practice.
That's wrong practice, he said. I mean, he says, really, this was taught in other sects at that time, some other religion. He says, maybe for a complete beginner, this might be helpful. So for a complete beginner, he says, maybe, if he looked around, he just wouldn't know how to be aware of all that, so it would just be, like, distracted, and then no samadhi would, like, no steadiness would develop. So it might be helpful for the beginner to have some boundary.
For a beginner,
but not for always. How can we live life without looking? He says, then the moment you leave the retreat, you have to start looking at things. He says in practicing meditation, he says the things we find most difficult are to be aware when we're speaking and when we're looking or seeing. Why? Because we've never practiced doing these things, while doing these things. We pay attention the whole day to ourselves. Stay in this retreat center all day. How many times have you noticed that you're seeing or looking? Is it strange?
How do you?
He says, we wake up in the morning, we open our eyes, and we don't notice that seeing happens.
Body sensation all the time.
He says, for him it's really strange. Why do we forget to practice seeing, which happens all the time? This is the Buddha said in when seeing, when looking, you know, practice so that you know greed, aversion, and delusion do, are not present as you look. So we need to practice recognizing, looking, and seeing happening. He says the whole day, you know, when we reach for something, take something, go somewhere, we look and do it.
Never check if you're looking.
Just paying attention to the body.
Yeah,
he said, but this sort of recognition, he says, if we look at the mind a lot, he says, at some point, he said, you can't stop. You can almost not help noticing that these things are happening. Because, you know, the mind is working at all the sense doors and it just opens up. What do you use to look at something?
Eyes.
The eyes doesn't see. The mind looks, the mind listens, the mind thinks. He says, we'll start to recognize all this.
Feel out of the mind.
The mind feels.
Think out of the mind. Memory left, mind.
It's the mind that knows, it's the mind that remembers. These are all activities of mind, and if we're skillful at watching the mind, that everything becomes included in recognizing what the mind is doing. You can't even not want to know. Because the moment you look, you know the mind is looking now. So he encourages his yogis, please, if you need to do something, look at it. If you need to listen to something, listen to it. But bring in awareness and wisdom and do that. He does not encourage people to not look and not listen. Why are we looking at something?
Because we want to know.
Did you know? Yeah, you see, this is cause and effect. Because I want to know something, I look at something. Because there's intention, therefore looking happens. These are Dhamma nature at work, yeah? Cause and effect. And so from this, from looking, you understanding can arise.
Sometimes
it's greed that looks at something. Greed doesn't understand whether it needs to or not, it just wants to look at everything. If there is no real awareness, then the mind just does whatever it wants to do. He says, you just, you know, sit in a car and look out the window, the mind keeps reading everything. It reads all the signboards that it sees. Because when the mind is free, it just does things, something all the time. He says, so when we're looking, he says, you have to see, is awareness present? Is wisdom present? Otherwise, greed, aversion, or delusion, something will be working. He says when we talk about objects, yeah, object of meditation, body sensations are not the only objects, right? All the sense doors have their object. He says so the object of seeing is sight of this seeing. I don't know how to use the word in English. He says how do you recognize that object of seeing? It's not what you see; it's the seeing itself.
So the mind knows that seeing is happening.
He says, so please practice that. Can you see that there is in fact a mind that is observing that seeing is happening? Yeah, there's an object and a mind. There's an object and a mind. Yeah, if you are seeing this, there's this, you know, object.
defilement machine.
And when you're recognizing this, he says, at that time when you're recognizing, no defilement is operating. And that's quite high, he said. He says, now we look at something and the reaction comes first. Judgment comes fast.
เออโหสิ่งกันน่ะอิจฉิจิตะปรมาญญีเนี่ยจี้ตั้งจี้ตั้งมาตติฐะเล่ล่ะจิสิกะจัดจิงลุล่ะเรียนชินชิล่ะปรมาตาล่ะเรียนชินไม่ชิในเฉยๆมาดิออบเจกต์ก็เปลี่ยนเล่ล่ะ
He says so in the beginning we might not immediately go to a point of being able to see object in mind. He says but we can notice the reaction that come every time looking we are looking or seeing happens. And he says and from in examining the this reaction that come up, sometimes there's no more reaction, and when there's no reaction, then you can investigate further into this relationship between the object and the mind. He says for taste it's a very clear when there is taste, liking arises. Nobody can stop this process. You taste something, your liking arises, and then look at that sense of liking. And continue to eat what you're liking, this taste. And if you keep watching that greed, that feeling of liking, he says that feeling of liking that will start to subside, even as you eat. And then when that feeling of liking really subsides, he said you can look back at that same taste that you're eating, and then look, is this really something to like? Liking happens, but so this is how you can investigate. In the mind, liking or disliking arises because of an object. An object causes liking, disliking to arise in the mind. But then he says, take care of the mind. First watch that liking and disliking. And if you watch that, it will subside. And that when there is no more liking or disliking in the mind, at that time, look back at the same object. Does it have the same, is it perceived in the same way? That's when you see it as it is. When you have no greed or aversion in the mind and you look at the object, he says the way you see the object is different. When there's greed or aversion in the mind looks at the object through its projections. So its projection is this is good, and that's why liking arises. Yes, and if we continue to look at that object through the projection of the mind, it continues to think it's good, then all you'll get is liking. And then there's another thing. He says when you observe the liking or disliking in the mind, he says there's two reasons why the liking or disliking would subside from the mind. Two reasons possible. He says, so one way that the liking or disliking subsides is like this. He says, because of this object, you look at this object, liking arises. Yeah? And he says, if you continue to look at that object, the feeling of liking will continue to arise. So that's the reason why there's this liking, because you're looking at the object that it likes. He says, now you're going to take care of the liking. So what you do is look at the feeling of liking. And when you look at the feeling of liking, you're not paying attention to the object that you're liking anymore. You're paying attention to that feeling of liking. So there's nothing feeding the feeling of liking anymore. And you continue to watch the feeling only. The feeling. And because there's nothing feeding it, the feeling subsides. But there's no wisdom in that. It's just a cause effect. You don't give it its food, it doesn't grow.
Yeah.
You're watching this continuously, the feeling of liking, continuously with awareness, that's samadhi and so on, with effort, and therefore it subsides.
Yeah.
So that gives you samadhi. But he says what we want to develop is understanding. But what happens to us is, once that feeling of liking subsides, we're satisfied. That's good enough. It's gone. That's why he asked this further question. Look back then at the object and ask, look, is it really something to like? When there's not a liking feeling, is that thing inherently on its own likable? Is that its quality?
So when
we have developed samadhi in the mind, that is the time that we can, because you've been watching continuously, we can make use of that samadhi, look at it further and see if some other understanding will arise. He says, He says, say now this liking feeling is not there anymore for taste. And you look, so you come back to the taste that you were liking, and then you can see in this state of more steadiness, he says, the taste just comes and goes. And so what's to like about it? The mind might really understand that. You can't be liking it. It's gone. Can't hold on to it. So that sort of understanding could come in. Yeah, he says another thing that's possible. While you're watching the greed, he says it's possible for the mind to say, understand something like this. This is the mind. And the moment you realize this is mine, it's gone.
Understanding she look, lobha piao do la.
He says, and this is because of understanding that the greed disappears.
Kuna dao xiao shu lu piao de, no?
The first one was talking about continuously watching greed, and therefore greed subsides because you're not feeding it and so on. Too many.
Is it possible for there to be liking without greed?
He
says, you'll put it this way. He says, wisdom also desires things. Wisdom also. But wisdom has a different motivation. Wisdom understands the true benefit of something, and therefore it moves towards that. Yeah, which is different from grasping. Yeah.
I was thinking of intrinsically liking something, like walking in the woods and you hear a woodpecker sound.
He'll
give you an example of greed that happens to some people. Like they hear of enlightenment, Nibbana. He says, and they want to practice so that they get to Nibbana. He said, now that's greed, because they have no idea what Nibbana is really like. But, you know, it's like money. They think that if I have some money, I'll be able to do something with it. And that's greed. But if someone practices, really practices and starts to understand some of the nature of things and starts to understand impermanence, impersonality, dukkha. He said when he gets to the dukkha part, he says then if the person really understands a little bit of what dukkha is, they get a glimpse of the fact that something else is possible. Because wisdom always sees two sides. It doesn't just see one perspective. If wisdom sees black, it understands that this is not white. So if it sees dukkha, it understands that the opposite of this is possible. He said that's when the mind really wants.
He said
that's wisdom wanting. But when wisdom wants something, he said there's no agitation. There's no need to get there immediately. It understands the proximate causes of it and it will work to fulfill it and steadily, but it's not disappointed if it doesn't get there because it understands.
Good motivation.
That's good motivation. He said there's no depression in this kind of wanting. Because wisdom is present. There's an understanding. There's a real understanding that something is really there because they've seen. It's been seen. And therefore it knows if it walks this path it will get there. So even if it hasn't got there yet, it's not. But greed is disappointed when it doesn't get its goal.
Okay.
I'm a little bit confused about seeing, because when we started talking about this, I just looked out the window and saw what I saw. Mm-hmm. But as I understand what Sato's saying, it's like see what the mind is doing. Well, it's really clear what the mind is doing on one level at least. It's putting a label on something, it's putting a word on something, it's putting concepts on things all the time. How do I see things as they are without inviting the mind, or even if it didn't do what it naturally does, how do I see things as they are without involving the mind? Isn't that what I should be doing?
ตัวดีโลตัวปัญญาเปยอ่ะมล่ะรู้มั้ยเนี่ยตัวจี้แต่คําอ่ะอุ๊ยเมียนเนี่ยอาจารย์ပြောอ่ะ
You don't have to get rid of the things that the mind does. The mind is reality, yeah? And you recognize the mind is doing its work.
And there's never a time when I shouldn't desire for the mind not to do its work.
Yes,
right, you don't need that. He said perception is one of the aggregates of mind, one of the functions of the mind, perception. It will do its work. So you don't need to stop perception. You just need to. What you need to get rid of is the wrong view there.
You
need to recognize that perception is perception at work, that this is the mind and a function of the mind, and not identify it.
Now, body sensation, smell, taste, body sensation, nose, smell, taste, body sensation.
He says we notice that of the five senses, touch and smell and taste obviously happen in the body, right? So it's here. But why is it when it comes to seeing and hearing, we're out there? He says he won't give you the answer. Think about it.
yogi dia bjo le ko a tam cha da mho
a yogi asked him, he said, isn't it that the sound from over there that I'm hearing?
The kenan cha da di ma cha da
but actually what we hear is what comes here
da mai tu a concept ko a yong yu da yong ni da concept ko lo ai perception ko yong ni lo
but we believe the concepts that the mind is using. We believe perception. Perception perceives the distance.
I don't know. You see my reality of seeing.
He says, so how to recognize the reality of seeing in seeing?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
He says, so say you pay attention to seeing, your own seeing, and all you see is the concepts. Shape, color, distance, size. But they say reality has no color.
No size.
No size.
No form. So how do aware of this
reality
of size? ဟိုနေရရှင်းတယ်နော်ဘူးဆန်နဲ့ဂျိုးဆပ်နဲ့ပြောနေတယ်ရှင်းတယ်ရှင်း
တယ်
ရှင်းတယ
် Did we speak about this with Joseph?
အဲ့ဒီကနော်
ပြောတယ် Not so detailed
အမှန်ကြီးနော် Okay So အဲ့တော့ knowing mind နဲ့တော့ knowing mind မှာငါဂျိုးဆပ်ကိုပြောတယ်
Yeah. Okay So he said the key is in the knowing mind the observing mind
စိတ်တိနေမှတိလို့မရဘူး
He says, can we recognize that we are knowing? Is there a shape or size or color to knowing? Sense of knowing? So if we recognize this mind, we will know what he's talking about. And what does that mind know? The mind that knows, what does it know? It has something, an object that it knows.
အဲ့ဒါပဲ reality
and that's the reality
ခုန concept ရဲ့အနောက်မှာရှိတယ
် it's that reality is there behind those concepts or in those concepts you're not expressive
အဲ့တော့ဉာဏ်ကမှအာယုံအဲ့ reality ကိုဉာဏ်နဲ့မှထိုးဖောက်ပြီးမြင်နိုင်တာရိုးရိုးတတိယမမြင်နိုင်ဘူးရိုးစိတ်ကမမြင်နိုင်ဘူ
း so he says what sees realityIs not awareness anymore. Awareness sees the concepts that are there. He says, understanding realizes the reality that is there.
Can you say that again?
Awareness cannot see reality. Awareness can only see the concepts that are there with the reality, but understanding realizes the reality that is there. So if that understanding is not with us, he says, we can try to see, but we won't see reality.
We just see the objects of the wax.
Yeah. Ayunididi. Pinya
ayunididi. Yes. Ayunividi.
So that the more I'm thinking about perception, the very fact that I have a perception when I see something has got to be colored back, wanting something, disliking something, or just not really seeing it, being in delusion about it.
အဲ့တော့တင်ညာအလုံးလောက်တဲ့အခါမှာတော့အမြဲတင်ညာဘာလုံးလုံးမလဲဆိုတော့တခုကိုကြိုက်ပြီးလုံးမယ်မှွေမကြိုက်ပြီးလုံးမယ်မှွေတကယ်အရှိတိုင်းမြင်တာတော့မဟုတ်ဘူးတင်ညာက
တင်ညာကမတ်ယုံမတ်တာဆိုမတ်တဲ့အလုံးနဲ့လုံးတယ်ကြိုက်တာမကြိုက်တာတင်ညာလို့မဟုတ်ဘူးဒါကတင်ခါရအလုံး
he says you know it's a you know there are four aggregates you know this right so all perception does is technically they use a word like it marks the object or it, you know that's what perception does it just knows like recognizes the object can we use the word recognize he says the other word like liking disliking that becomes sankhara condition you call it conditionality or volition or whatever
wrong attitude jo tu chai tha wrong view jo
wrong
thought jo tu chai da ma chai da phit
or wrong thought in the mindwhich is also in the sankharas, then liking and disliking arises in the mind, which is also sankhara. Yeah.
So it's bringing, okay, so you take the perception, once you're aware that there's the perception, and kind of check out what you've done with the perception, what the mind has done.
လည်းနေမှာ
။အဲ့တော့တင်ညာကိုစိတ်ကယူပြီးတော့ကိုကကြည့်ရမှာဒီတင်ညာရှိတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့အဲ့ဒီဟာအပေါ်မှာစိတ်ကပါထပ်လုံလဲကြိုက်တယ်မ
ဟုတ်လိမ့်လား
That's right. That's the examination.
Create လုပ်တဲ့အခါမှာလည်းကိုက focus လုပ်နေတော့အဲ့ချိန်မှာလည်းတတိတွက်နေရာမရှိသလိုဖြစ်တယ်တဲ့
။အဲ့ကြောင့်ဉာဏ်မလာဘူးပေါ့
။ Yeah, that's why insight doesn't arise.
The creativity does, and insight of the creativity does arise.
That means, but if let's say that the lonely the anubhinya rubaru, a chong no, any a chong
no, who insight pin
pin nine there. Upma, through a twin nine there. Idea thirty, idea thirty, very well, I'm a lumuri of pin nine. Did him out when Zani, go anubhinya, a lot of my wins Zani.ဒီအကြောင်း
လုံးနိုင်နေဆိုတာဘာကြောင့်လဲဆိုတော့ तू ဒါနဲ့ပတ်သက်လို့အများကြီးသိတာလို့ဟော
He says but that ability to create has come about because the mind understands a lot about and has been examining and studying this process of creation a lot
It's experience
Yes yeah. အများကြီးသိရမယ
် Yeah so the person must have a lot of experience doing
this ဟုတ်ပါအတော့ကစားလို့ तू ဒီတိုင်းဒီလိုကြီးလုပ်ထားနိုင် तू ဘယ်လိုလုပ် create လုပ် focus တစ်ခုတည်းလုပ်ပြီးတော့ခုနကတော့ဒီအကြောင်းဘာမှမသိသေးဘူး concrete လုပ်တဲ့အစင်မလားလေး
Yeah, so when, I mean, if, you know, somebody's new at it, and, you know, they just start the process of doing something creative, they won't be able to create or have insight into creation.
So
they're old. That actual time of creation is not enough. That actual time of
creation
is not enough. Creativity is not enough. It's not enough. There's no point.
It's not
enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough.
တရားထုတ်တဲ့တတိယဘာလဲဆိုတော့ right view ကရှိရမယ် nature ဆိုတဲ့အရင် identify မှာပါမှတ်ရမယ
် he says for this awareness in the sense of meditation to be happening in a creative context he says you right view needs to be present there has to be this understanding that there's you know nobody there it's a process cause and effect and so on then it would beThat's why he says, you know, oh, just paying attention alone doesn't make it meditation. Yeah.
But this is not meditation.
Yeah. Dharo tiyato dam ho. Right.
Another function of the mind.
Say, alone lo dren nao, say pa inta kubay bo.
I mean, dhari say ka dhilo lo ni manti no tiyato dam pino.
But you know, if there's a recognitionthat the mind is doing this work of creativity becomes meditation again.
What I'm saying, the actual second, let's say someone's writing music.
Yeah.
The actual second of doing that, there's no something for awareness to be there also.
သူထင်တာကတရားဘက်ကဥပမာတချင်းရေးနေတယ်ဆိုပါဆို။ तू ရေးနေတဲ့အခါမှာတတိရှိဖို့နေရာမရှိဘူးလို့ तू အဲ့လိုမျိုးထင်တာ။
သူကလားမရှိတာမျိုးသူကလုံနေတယ်တတိယရှိနေတတိမရှိဘာသာလုံးလို့ရ
He says
အဲတတိမရှိဘာမှလုံးလို့မရဘူ
း He says you think there's no awareness but awareness is always there we can't do anything without consciousness
Awareness မရှိဘူးလို့တလုံးမှာလ
ေ You can't do anything without consciousness yeah awareness yeah.
It's taking time it goes back and forth focus awareness
No, I think we're actually talking at cross purposes He's trying to say that yeah
လူတိုင်းအလုပ်လုပ်နေရပဲအဲ့မှာအလုပ်လုပ်တဲ့ထဲမှာဒီရားလေးအလုပ်လုပ်နေမှာပဲ wrong awareness လား right awareness လားဒီစိတ်တွေကတော့အလုပ်လုပ်နေမှာပဲ
Yeah he says I mean whenever we work we have awareness it's just whether it's a right kind of awareness or the wrong kind of awareness whether we're paying attention to concepts or whether we have this background idea of you know recognize the mind and stuff like that and it's not that it's not possible for awareness to be there
ငယ်တော့ဟာအဲ့တော့ကိုယ်ကတတိမရှိအဲ့တော့မူးနေတယ်ကွာ
Yeah.
ပြောမူးနေပြီးလှုပ်ချင်တာလှုပ်နေ
Yeah.
အခုတရားထုတ်လို့တော်တော်လေးရင်းကျက်လာတဲ့ချိန်မှာအဲ့လိုကဟာပြန်ပေါ်လာတဲ့ချိန်မှာဒီချိန်မှာဘာ attitude နဲ့ဘလို့ရည်ရွယ်ချက်နဲ့ဘလို့သဘောထားနဲ့လှုပ်တယ်ဆိုအကုန်လုံးရှင်းတယ်
Yeah.
ဟိုချိန်မှာဘာတတိမှမရှိဘူး။ဟိုတရားထုတ်တဲ့တတိတော့မရှိဘူ
း။ Yeah.
ဘာကြောင့်ပြန်ပေါ်ပြန်မမှတ်မိ။ဟိုချိန်မှာဘာမှတတိမရှိတဲ့လူကဒီချိန်ညမှာဒါလေးအကုန်ရှင်းရှင်းလင်းလင်းပြန်ပေါ်လာ
။တင်ညာ
။အဲ့အဲ့မေးလိုက်သူတို့နည်းနည်းပြန်ရှင်းမှာ
။ He says
It gives you an example. When he was younger, much younger, he was in a drunken stupor once. He was so drunk that he knew nothing. He did something. He was angry or something. He did something. He was in a complete stupefied state. He said he didn't care about himself. You know, he was. And he says now, after years of meditating, once he remembered that state he was in when he was at that time, he says, and he could remember. He could recall everything in the mind at that time. His motivation for doing it, what he felt, what he was, you know, going through and all this sort of thing. But in that state itself, at that time, he certainly was not aware of himself and didn't know that he felt all these things and so on. Didn't recognize his motivations at all. But why is it he can remember it now? Because whether we are aware or not, the mind does its own work. Whether we are trying to consciously be aware or not, the mind is doing its own work. Now, in a state of clarity, the mind in a state of clarity, the memory brings back recollections of those times. Some yogis do that too. They tell him how now, as they're meditating, because the mind is very clear, they remember some incident and they remember in fine detail the kind of anger or emotion they had and so on, all the things that went through the mind. He says one person recalls how he said when he was in trouble, somebody I think did something like bad to him, and at the time of this happening, that person didn't actually feel any anger, and then afterwards, like sometime afterwards, he started thinking about it. When he started thinking about this and oh, he did this to me and all, anger started to grow. And then now in meditation, he saw clearly that he hadn't got angry immediately. It was only after he started feeding it. But then now he's still got this anger. It's built up over all those years and he still needs to work with it.
I was outside walking and I kept saying to myself, the mind is looking, the mind is looking. It's very quiet and calm. And then the mind slipped off of that and a thought arose. And when I said, oh, the mind is thinking, the thought disappears. And that happens every time I turn and say, oh, the mind is thinking, the thought disappears. So, but when I'm walking and saying the mind is looking doesn't stop. So I was wondering, how can I, it's like I can't hold the thought. As soon as I put, say, the mind is, because sometimes what I'll do is I'll say, what was the feeling of that thought? You know, was there greed, hatred, or delusion? And I can always find something. What's the question? I guess there's desire. I would like to be able to hold the thought and say the mind is thinking without the thought disappearing.
အဲ့တော့သူကဘယ်လိုဖြစ်လဲဆိုတော့သူကနည်းနည်းဟိုဒီအတွေးကိုကင်ပြီးတော့ကြီးနိုင်ခြင်းနဲ့တဲ့ဘာဖြစ်လို့အတွေးကြတော့အဲစိတ်ကတွေးနေတယ်လို့သိလိုက်တော့ပြုတ်ဆိုပြတ်သွားပြီအဲ့လိုမျိုးသူစိတ်ကနည်းနည်းဒီလိုမဖြစ်သင့်ဘူးဘာဖြစ်လို့အတွေးကိုကင်ပြီးတော့ကြီးနိုင်ခြင်းနဲ့တဲ့အာဘာဖြစ်လို့အတွေးကြတော့စိတ်ကတွေးနေတယ်လို့သိလိုက်တော့ပြုတ်ဆိုပြတ်သွားပြီအဲ့လိုမျိုးသူစ
ဝိဉ္ဇဉ်တိတ်ကတိတ်မရှိအားများတဲ့ဘက်နိုင်ပါပဲ
He says right now in this setting he says the observing is very strong also the desire to think is not very strong so in this sort of setting that's how it will be what is stronger will win so the observing wins so the observing
beginner you look at yeah
he says if you asked a beginner to do that would this happen the mind is thinking what the mind will keep thinking the awareness disappears and not the thought yeah so whatever is stronger you know that's the way it will go
အဲ့တော့တခုတော့ရှိတယ
်
အစအားထုတ်ခံစားနေရမဆိုင်ပဲနဲ့လေ recognize ပဲလုပ်လို့ပဲ awareness ကလည်းသူ့ကသူ energy တက်လာတွေးတာလည်းသူ့ကသူတွေးနေတွေးလည်းတွေးတယ်တိလည်းတိတယ်ဒီလိုလေးနေတတ်ရင်ပို investigate လုပ်လို့ရ
But there's one thing you can do he says if right from the beginning of your practice you didn't make it a habit to focus on your thoughts but what you want to do is recognize the mind is thinking when it thinks so there's a difference between focusing and recognizing And he says, if you just do that, learning to recognize the thought every time it arises, together with recognizing everything else, of course, he says, with this continuity of recognition, of course, the awareness gets stronger, the awareness gains momentum. Also, when a thought does come in, he says, the thought comes in its train, the awareness does its work, and you will see the thought as it's passing through, and you'll be able to investigate in real time then.
50-50.
So it's 50-50.
Is there something that you would recommend to catch the thought at the beginning?
So a twi o a sa ma a lo mi bo lou khai la de.
No.
A
twi piao twa bo le ma lo.
And the thought doesn't need to disappear either.
Di a twi o ji yin ne ta khu khu ta bo paw.
He says as we watch the thought some understanding can arise.
အနည်းဆုံးဒီတွေ့ရအသေးပဲမရှိဘူးလို့တဘောပေါက်အဲ့ညာမှာ
At the very least as we watch the thought we the understanding can arise that well, this thought is completely useless and then with that understanding makes the thought disappear
အဲ့ညာကလောက်တော့တာကိုယ်ကလောက်တာမဟုတ်ဘူ
း But that is that wisdom at work not you doing something to the thought
mm-hmm. Sometimes the thoughts fall into a category of like I do things that I think thoughts that say oh what a good person I am so this like take like comforting myself
you do
you
think thoughts you say
yes the thought arises and I say well why am I thinking this and it's like, to take care of you know to there's a real sense of comforting
yeah
in the thought
ကိုကျေနပ်အောင်လို့တွေးလာ
ကိုကို
အားရ satisfaction ရှိအောင
် satisfaction comfort ဆိုတာ
ခံစားလို့ကောင်းအောင်စ
ီနွေးထွေးမှုတော့မဟုတ်တက်တာဖို့ရအောင်လို့ပေါ့ကိုကိုကိုချော့တာပေါ့ချော့ရတဲ့သဘောရှိတယ
်ဟုတ်ပြီအဲလူရမှာမဖြစ်ပဲလူရအမြင်နဲ့တက်တာအမြင်နဲ့တုံတုံးနေတာအမြင်နဲ့ဟိုစိတ်ကိုကိုကိုဖြည့်နေကြတာမြင်ရ
Yeah he says yes the mind does that but that's what we do a lot he says we are always trying to make ourselves feel better in all sorts of ways
ကျွန်တော်ပြောပြီးအတွေးကိုကြည့်လဲဆိုတာအတွေးပြောင်းလောက်တာမဟုတ်အတွေးဆိုအာယုံတစ်ခုဒီအာယုံကြည့်ပြီးတော့တတိတမာတိဉာဏ်ဖြစ်ရမှာ
He says remember also that when we watch a thought or a thought process he says we're not watching it to make it go to disappear to make the thought stop he says a thought is an object and we use any object as a stepping stone from which to develop awareness effort and concentration. He says, is it possible to watch the thinking and become concentrated? Is it possible to watch the mind thinking and develop concentration? Yeah, you're thinking about it. This is actually
Yes.
So this is an object too, right? You can develop concentration on this. Same with that. It's because people get lost in the story of the thought rather than using thought as an object or thinking mind as an object that they get lost in the story and distracted, yeah.
If they can see it as an object and recognize it each and every time it arises or as it is happening, he says, then samadhi can, Yeah, you've heard, if you think of, if you have 1,000 thoughts and recognize each and every one of them, samadhi will even become stronger.
Curious, in the blue book, I read about something like that labeling actually gets in the way of experiencing the object. And I was wondering if you could say a little bit more about that. And I was just curious about what
labeling though, eh? He says when we do labeling, he says the mind just has more work to do. So some of the mind has to do this work while the only the rest of it can do the work of actually paying attention. Yeah, so it has less power to just be with it.
Now labeling a target for you.
And labeling creates a target for the mind. And then once we have a target, then we want to ignore everything else. If we use the word touching, then we're only looking for touching. If we use the word rising, falling, then we're trying to stay with the rising, falling. Because once the mind uses a label, the mind immediately just pays attention to the meaning of that label.
Even with labeling that isn't, say, lifting, moving, placing, or rising, falling, or something like that, that is just labeling,
You mean if it's not mechanical?
Yes, if it's like, you know, just seeing conceit arise, or seeing greed arise, or seeing,
Upama,
reaching, or, you know, something that's happening in the moment that isn't
He says, you know, the mind does this thing quite naturally. It comments on things that we're doing. It just keeps talking to you. You can't stop that. And that's natural. That will happen.
That nature, that the power to look alone.
Yeah, that the mind will do it.
He's
talking about this mechanical, you know, something. Like you need to be. Sorry?
When you already know what the note is, like lifting, moving, pressing, something like that.
Yeah, when you've set yourself up to note continuously, I think he's talking about that. Like I have to.
Yes.
Yeah. Just
striving.
Yeah. That sort of thing is unnecessary. And then, you know, if we do that sort of thing, it can just become a habit for the mind to keep. Yeah, he's done that kind of labeling before too. But after a while, the mind knows so many things on its own. He says using that word was just irritating. The mind gains momentum and it wants to know so many things on its own, and that label is like a, you know, pulling the horse back. The horse can't go because it's being held back.
Once the concentration is strong, but sometimes when I'm a little more lost, I can find it helpful to come back down in.
Takhali, wo tamadi kawin na hote. Dame takhali ko ane na le ni resu ene. Aso ene takhali se galon le bali talai se ka pyan nye.
Sometimes to ya ba.
You can use it sometimes, he said.
Nyan si lo to ba.
He said you wisely, yeah. Just use it wisely. Yeah, as a skillful means sometimes.
Uzin wa lo bulo to ne so.
He said he used to use it like this. He would first decide what he's going to observe it, and then he would do three notes. He would say rising, falling, falling, falling. And the mind would just sort of focus into it. It was great. Yeah, the mind couldn't go anywhere. Three labels, just dives into it. But he says really the important thing is to be knowing. Yeah, using that label is not the key. Yeah. Do you want to ask that?
In one respect, you the other day you pulled the rug out from under me with the relaxing and saying how much effort does it take to be aware. And so I've been working at just trying to relax. And my concentration, I spent a lot of work at concentrating. And when I just stepped back, my concentration just shocked me.
Got better.
Yeah, much
better. So that was too much effort before. That's why he says for samadhi, for concentration to develop, it doesn't require so much efforting. All it requires is continuity and the right attitude. People think they have this idea that they have to be working to develop concentration. But he says, you know, samadhi is something that we cannot create. We cannot apply. We cannot be doing samadhi. In the seven factors of enlightenment, he says the things that we can work with, that means they are conditions, so we can work on the conditions, are sati, virya, and dhammavicaya. So that's awareness, effort, and wisdom. Dhammavicaya is a wisdom faculty. The other four, samadhi, piti, pasadi, and upekkha, are all effects. You can't do them. They're side effects. Effects of the first three.
Apply lulu yada, cause lulu yada.
So you can only apply the causes.
Just lulu yada, awareness and wisdom and effort.
You can only work at awareness, wisdom, and effort.
I had the experience of being in samadhi, and you were supposed to come out and concentrate on what someone was saying. I couldn't understand a word. I couldn't hear it. But I couldn't understand.
The samadhi pinned it at Chima. That's too much concentration. There's no more wisdom in it. This is this hearing going on, but that's too much samadhi.
No, but there's too much samadhi in meditation.
Tell me about it.
He says, I mean, you're listening, but for what, right? You can't even do that. There must be something wrong.
No, the samadhi was in the meditation before.
But it has a momentum.
Momentum.
It has a momentum that's carried out.
In the truly tiny,
too much samadhi to be able to then
function, yeah.
The too tiny, little meow, you know?
Yeah, some people say, you know, they sit and they can't move. Like they try, but they can't move. That's too much samadhi. They can't get up when they want. They can't will
it.
He says only if somebody shouts fire, then they will get up.
The
momentum of the concentration, like this focusing is so strong, the mind just keeps wanting to do that because it's in a momentum, you know, it's in
intention,
a
more intention, I want to get up, but cannot.
So he says the intention to get up is so small, it can't override that desire to keep focusing. So he says he tells those people to start thinking of wanting to get up a lot, so that this becomes stronger. Yeah.
Then they can move.
But when you're in the actual meditation, can there be too much samadhi?
Yes.
Definitely, he says there's too much. You don't need that much. The mind can't think anymore.
What's it supposed to be thinking about?
He says you have to think about how the mind is working. What work is the mind doing? How is it doing it? How much energy is it using? How many objects does it know? Does it clearly know? He said that sort of samadhi comes from just focusing on one object only.
So
you can
get lost in the object.
You're lost in the object.
I never.
That's why you're doing that. He said, that's why he says, don't stay in the object. Keep checking the mind. He says, people are having problems with
concentration
because of this quiet.
They're
stuck in the
quietness.
So they don't move towards wisdom.
Jump up
every once
in a while and shout and then go back.
No, you should not even wait till then. You should never even let it get there. That's why he defined right from the... I mean, he explained right from the beginning the difference between samatha meditation and vipassana meditation. He's explaining these ideas so that we know the attitude we should have if we want insight, which way to go, if we want samadhi, which way to go.
Does this mean that concentration gets you out of one particular mind state into something that's really far more focused? I certainly acknowledge that the concentration feels much better.
Sorry.
Because sometimes...
Was it non-lila? Sorry, I'm not understanding. You have to repeat. Sorry.
Sometimes I use concentration.
Yes.
But I'm not feeling well for any particular reason. Usually it's whatever's going on in the body. It's gotten somehow up to some kind of thinking going on in my mind, which has to do with the story.
Mm-hmm.
If I go to concentration, that can get me out of that into something else.
Yeah.
Is that unwise, or should I just stay and explore, investigate the unpleasant feelings, whether it's the body or the story in the mind?
Tu adi lo phit tat de tu ta kha le ni ma kaung phit tat de ni ma kaung phit tu a tamadi taung ne le tamadi phyaw tu ta khu o yu lite da ma tu a na ne sait blo shi le ro ma ti u di lu a a ro tu a na ne ta kha le a lo myo sait ka ma naw sha phit lo di khana ko re ma ni lo ma kaung so yin tu a ta khu a yong pyu bro a so sait ka ngain wa bro ta cha a ni tha phit twa le le khana ko re ba kaung wa di lo thong na မကောင်းဘူးလားဟိုဖြစ်နေတဲ့အခါမှာဒီအမိမသားတွေပဲကြည်ရမလားဘယ်လိုလုပ်ရမလဲ
အဲ့ဘယ်လိုရှင်းစရပြောလဲငြိမ်အောင်လို့နည်းနည်းလုပ်နိုင်လို့ပေါ့ငြိမ်လာရင် investigate ဘက်ကိုသွားတယ
် He says so he's mentioned it to you before he says first you can do something to help the mind develop some samadhi so the mind becomes calmer and more stable and once it's become more stable you can use that state of mind then to investigate why the mindyou know, you felt sick earlier.
Or is it go back to that mind, at that time, to look
at it with some focused thinking after it's no longer there?
Or you could just, you know, in the moment, now that the mind is quiet, just investigate this relationship between the mind that's observing and the object that's observing now. Just recognize what is mind, what is object. Tu me de ho ngain la bi so yin nyan tong bro ba chang so ra song san so ra a lo
ညီလာပြီဆိုရင်အခုနအခုနဖြစ်တဲ့ဟာတွေ
မလို့တော့တခုတည်း focus လုပ်တာတော့မလို့တော့
ဒါပေမဲ့အခုနဖြစ်တဲ့ဟာဘာကြောင့်နေမကောင်းဆိုတော့စုံစမ်းရမလား
ဖြစ်နေတာစုံစမ
်း He says
feeling of body of body feeling and mental activity ကိုအကုန်ကြည့်တော့
Yeah
ဖွင့်ထွက်လိုက်တော့
He says you know when you've calmed down he says what you do then when you calm down is open yourself in the sense of like what's happening now in the body and mind now because you know there might still be something left or so you just look at what's happening now in the body and mind
Anybody? Time off? Time off? Time off? Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Thank
you. Just going away like that. Going away. Okay. 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 Okay.
ဟုတ်တယ်ဆွေးနွေးမှာ
ရအဲ့ဒါတော့တစ်ချက်ပြင်ရှင်းကြမယ်ဦးစင်းနီးရလေတစ်ခါတည်းနဲ့မရဘူ
းဘယ်လိုတစ်ခါတည်းနဲ့မရ
တစ်ခါတည်းပြောလို့ဟို instruction တစ်ခုတည်းနဲ့မလောက်ဘူ
း yeah he says unfortunately you know what he's trying to convey to people like he can't convey it all in one shot
အဲ့များများဆွေးနွေးမှသွား
So a lot of discussion brings out more and more of the ideas
information တွေစုလာပြီးဆိုမှသူ့ picture တစ်ဖြည်းဖြည်းကျလာလေ
As you get more and more information then you get a bigger and bigger picture a clearer picture of everything he's trying to say so
formula မဟုတ်လို့အဲ့အရန်ကျတယ
် because it's not a formula he said that it becomes very wide yeah
တိုင်းနဲ့တော့လို့
you can go anywhere any direction you like
ဖြည်းဖြည်းပေါ့ဖြည်းဖြည်းချင်းပါလေ
Slowly, he said, slowly. TV ho yang cha le ni yang tu ra de ke lou do le u sin phyo ra tu ro kong ho ho patai mwe yi yo pho yi ne ho ho ma chi na ma na thaw ne ka mi
you like concentration what check concentration check
You like concentration, huh?
I like
you like concentration.
No, like don't concentrate well.